Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick, that's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. I know many of you have sexual performance issues and questions. Hey, Doc, what's the best sexual position for butt fucking? How do you give a great blowjob? I think I want to get into bondage, but where do I begin? You know, stuff like that. Well, now, you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you how it's done. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, wonderfully enriching, and extremely informative videos right there from your computer screen. How sweet is that? Listen, I have a really juicy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. This is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent writes from the UK. His name is Martin, and he's 34. Dr. Dick, my new boyfriend is an insatiable bottom. Help! My dick is about to fall off from overuse. I want to keep the fella happy, but I need a break. Our six-month anniversary is coming up, and I want to give him a little something to celebrate. I need something to feed a hungry hole. What do you suggest? Poor dear, I feel your pain. While it's great to have a man primed and ready for pounding 24/7, it's generally too much work for one human to handle. I mean, when will you find time to do your nails? I suggest you get some help. No, I'm not suggesting that you share your guy with another top. You simply need to get yourself a mechanism. And I have just the one for you. Check out this remote control anal plug in Dr. Dick's stockroom. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. The remote control anal plug is a marvel of modern adult toy engineering. It promises hands-free anal stimulation. What will they think of next? This anal plug has a stimulator located in its base, and it's powered by two AAA batteries, and they're included. It produces a very pleasant vibration with surprising little noise. The remote, which is an on and off switch basically, is a very convenient size. It's barely larger than a matchbox. It can easily be hidden in a pocket or your purse. Testing shows that this device has a range of 30 to 40 feet. Imagine that. Just pop this puppy in your boyfriend's ear hole and you'll be able to pleasure him at a distance. Do the crossword, bake a quiche, visit the Homo Depot, and still keep a smile on his face. No top should be without one. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Carol, 32, Scottsdale, Arizona. She writes, I've got an odd question. You know how there seems to be no end to the methods and devices available to bolster a man's equipment? Everything from cock rings to Viagra? I know guys are all ego involved with their stuff and everything, but it seems to me that instead of all this gadgetry and pharmaceuticals, why don't they just strap one on? Most women I know wouldn't much care if it was the real thing or a dildo. I mean, is the real thing all that superior? I don't think so. because women could choose the girth and length and texture of her object of desire, or change it depending on her mood. The guy wouldn't have to worry about being all worn out, premature, or not being able to get it up at all. Best of all, both could enjoy sex for longer periods. I'm really quite serious. Let's face the fact, the male refractory period is a real drag. It seems to me that the strap-on sex idea would be a great way to put off ejaculation, extend the time that we have for lovemaking, and keep the fire burning for as long as the woman wants and needs. Ouch, Carol! For a chick who says she understands that us guys are all ego involved with our stuff, you sure are rough as hell on us penis-owning people. Holy cow! You'll get no argument from me. Most men are way too obsessed with their cock. If only we spent a fraction of the time we fritter away worrying about the size and shape of our poor willies on something more worthwhile that would actually make us more interesting, the world would be a much better place, I'll admit. But let's face it, that's not going to happen anytime soon. And when the boys get a load of your message, which suggests that most women would actually choose a strap-on over the real thing, well, you know for sure the anxiety level is going to go through the roof. Frankly, I don't believe that most women would choose a dildo over the real thing, even though the real thing has, as you so generously point out, its deficiencies, like that pesky male refractory period. I know some women folks, myself, you know, and if I had to guess, and it would indeed only be a guess, most women would prefer the animate thing, with all its shortcomings, no pun intended, to the inanimate things, with all their variety. I say this because most of the women that I know think that there's a whole lot more to sex and intimacy than penetration sex, even though penetration sex is really fine and dandy. I've also had my share of women tell me that they're not always overly disturbed when hubby or boyfriend can't get it up, because that means less barking at their front door, or God forbid, back door, if you know what I mean. I also get loads of letters from women who complain that the dudes in their lives don't know squat about how to use the dick that nature gave them. It's hard for me to imagine how awkward and clumsy penis-vagina sex would be if the guy was plugging the chick couldn't feel the thing he was plugging her with. I'd be willing to wager there'd be a whole lot more bruised pussies out there if men were strapping their tool on a regular basis. But let's just say you're right, that most women would prefer to have fake as opposed to real. How would these women break the news to their benighted men? I mean, would they just come right out and say, "Hey, mister, tonight we're going to have you strap on old Junior here," as she pulls out some big vibrating monster wang and a harness? How do you suppose that will affect the guy's ego? I suggest not very well. Like I said at the beginning, us guys already are nervous about our adequacy. How are we supposed to compete with something that never loses its boner and can vibrate all at the same time? No, darling, I don't think that's going to fly. Imagine for a moment if the shoe were on the other foot, so to speak, and men started bringing home blow-up dolls to compensate for the times their women were too tired or too headachy or too pregnant or too turned off to the idea of giving their man some well-deserved head. Imagine the female consternation if their male partners asked them to move over in bed to make way for Missy Blow-Up. You know, the one with the ever-ready mouth, pussy, and asshole. The one that never complains and has those really perky tits, albeit they're made of plastic. You see where I'm going with this, don't you? Most women I know can't even bear the idea that their man might be jerking off to porn, let alone having to share their bed with an inanimate object that is there simply for the sexual gratification of their male partner. Now that I've debunked the idea of real versus fake, I do want to say that I believe that most couples, gay, bi, straight, what have you, would benefit from adding a sex toy or six to their lovemaking. I mean, that's why I hawk all those fabulous marital aids there in Dr. Dick's stock room. I'm a really big advocate for spicing things up with all this stuff, but never at the ego expense of one or the other partner. So by all means, Carol, if you're betting a man that has the ego strength to hear you suggest he strap one on when his Peter's out, so to speak, good for you. Knock yourself out. But then you'll have to be as agreeable to his toy suggestions, too, right? I mean, turnaround is fair play, right, darling? I am of the mind that most people, both women and men, are still too skittish about the whole notion of toys, at least as they pertain to shared fun. And that's really too bad, if you ask me. For the most part, us Americans, particularly straight Americans, are not particularly adventurous when it comes to sex in general and partnered sex with toys in particular. And those who are including toy play in their sex play generally use toys that are no threat to the ego of their partner. They tend to save their dildos and masturbation sleeves for when they are alone. Again, too bad about that. I think that more people would have more enjoyable sex together if they were more comfortable jerking off and jilling off with their partner and their toys. As it is now, most masturbation is still a furtive, solitary affair. Again, too bad about that. In the end, the answer to your query might reside with the kind of guy you fuck, Carol. Hopefully he or they are open-minded enough, fun enough, sex freaks enough, who are dying to try new things. If he or they are, you're in luck. All you have to do is come up with a politic way of introducing old Junior and his harness to your man. If by chance the guy or guys you fuck aren't quite so enlightened, maybe you'll have to introduce the idea of toys first by getting him one. Imagine his surprise if you showed up in bed one day with a vibrating masturbation sleeve, one that looked like it had a built-in pussy. Then you could tell your man to have a ball, bust a nut, while you watch on with joy. When he spent himself on the inanimate pussy, you could whip out the strap-on and tell him to go to town on the real thing. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Our next correspondent is Carrie from Kansas. He's 33. He writes, "My fiancé is 27, and in the past 3 or 4 years, her libido has become virtually extinct. I've tried everything, and she just blames her birth control. What do I do?" You've been engaged to a woman for more than 4 years? Oh, wait. Maybe you're trying to tell me that you proposed to this woman in spite of knowing that she has an extinct libido. Either way, darling, that's messed up. Are you hoping that this dry spell will somehow magically go away once you're married? I wouldn't hold my breath for that if I were you. It's true, of course, oral birth control can seriously impact on a woman's desire for sex. Your fiancé is probably one of those women. Maybe she ought to consult her physician about finding another type of pill that may have less severe impact on her libido. Many women find that the triphasic birth control pills, which deliver differing amounts of hormones every week, interfere much less with their sex drive than the monophasic pills, which deliver the same amount of hormones each dose. She could also decide to discontinue the pill altogether and choose another form of contraception, such as condoms or a diaphragm, or both better. Just realize that once off the pill, her sex drive may return, but it will only return very slowly. You see how this predicament is a double bind for your fiancée. If she is more lax with her contraceptive efforts, just to please you and your sex drive, then she opens herself up for an unplanned pregnancy. And that's not good for her, nor you. Is there anything you can do to free her up from shouldering the full burden of contraception? Have you considered a vasectomy? Probably not, huh? I mean, what man ever imagines he ought to assume the responsibility for controlling reproduction? Listen, I wholeheartedly support the notion that married people deserve a rich and full sex life, unless there's a mutual agreement for another arrangement. But that can't happen if one of the partners is inequitably burdened by preventing unplanned pregnancies. Perhaps it's time you and the little woman have a little talk about sharing the responsibility for contraception. And if this little talk is successful, maybe, just maybe, you'll get laid again. Good luck! Next, we hear from Brian, 25, Melbourne, Australia. I live about 45 minutes outside of the city and have always had a weight problem. The only option for sex for a long time was to meet guys anonymously. These encounters were never satisfying. I felt as though I was simply getting off. Also, just to get sex, I would take the submissive role rather than my preference, being a top. Now that I'm older, I'm meeting guys I actually like, but it takes forever for me to come. I like head jobs, but I just never can come by being sucked alone. I end up needing to jerk off and to take a very long time in doing so. Also, I can't come unless I'm lying on my back and jerking off, which is difficult, as I like being the dominant and active partner. A part of me thinks that this is because I jerk off too much, or because I have needed to play the submissive role for so long. I'm studying psychology at a university, and I'm trying to make sense of all of this, but I just can't. And I'm tired of apologizing to guys when they can't make me come from blowjobs or sex. I just want to be able to come while having sex or having a blowjob and not lying on my back and not taking forever and a day. I do like the guys that I am seeing now, but these issues put pressure on my sexual relationships. You don't say. Listen. I caution you not to read too much into your ability to come through oral sex or in any other position than on your back. No need to psychoanalyze yourself or look too deeply into your sexual past to find the root of your problem, if there is a problem. While your mindset and your past behaviors may impact on your current performance, you should know that lots of men with very different sexual histories than yours have had a similar inability to come in any other way other than on their back and by their own hand. If this is so disturbing for you, you could learn different behaviors that may, in time, allow you to come in a position and by an activity that you prefer, like standing up for a blowjob. But I suggest that you will never accomplish this if you think you are defective, or that some deep psychological trauma is the root of your dissatisfaction. Hey, why not just chalk up your concerns to the natural variation on the male sexual response cycle? Expanding one's sexual repertoire is best accomplished with some patience and a whole lot of practice. Being ashamed of yourself or belittling yourself for what you perceive as an inadequacy will completely sabotage any effort you might make to change your sexual patterns. Good luck. Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from John from California. He's 22. He writes, "My penis, when erect, is slightly bent to the left. What should I do? Will there be any problem while having sex with a woman?" You haven't seen a whole lot of stiffies on other guys, have you, John? Most straight guys are unaware of how their cock compares to that of other dudes. If a guy, like you, doesn't have the proper frame of reference, so to speak, he may think his unit is defective or abnormal. The fact is that many men have curved cocks. Some curve to the left, others to the right, some curve up, some curve down. You are clear on the concept of what creates wood, right? An erection occurs when the two tubular structures that run the length of the penis, the corpora cavernosa, become engorged with blood. Imagine your cock as a balloon with two separate inflatable tubes on either side. If you put more air pressure in the balloon on one side as opposed to the other, the balloon will curve. It's as simple as all that. Many guys believe that a bent cock is caused by wearing tight briefs instead of boxers, or that it's caused by circumcision, or jerking off too much. These are myths. However, rough or heavy-handed masturbation during one's youth can promote a curvature later on in life. That's why I always promote handling one's pecker with a great deal of care. Listen, since you say your dick curves only slightly to the left, I'm pretty sure that it's a natural variation, and it won't be a problem in partnered sex. Good luck. Next, Quentin 18 from Syracuse. He writes, "What's a glory hole?" I heard some guys joking about a glory hole in the library, but I can't figure it out. I know it's about sex, but in the library? Oh, Quentin, dear Quentin, I love questions like this. Simply put, my friend, a glory hole is a hole in a wall or a partition, often between public toilet stalls or video booths for men to have sex or watch the person in the next cubicle pull his pud. The partition maintains anonymity, but allows for body parts including fingers, cocks, assholes, and tongues to touch. If the hole is large enough and positioned correctly, full-on butt-fucking is possible while the anonymous nature of the encounter remains intact. Surely you've heard of the illustrious right-wing Republican senator from the great state of Idaho who got busted in an airport toilet for soliciting some hot monkey gay sex this past summer, right? Well, had there been a hole in the partition that separated his stall from the undercover police dude next to him, you just know that old Senator Craig would have been down on his knees gobbling himself some mighty fine cop cock before you could read him his rights. Toilets in college libraries, along with truck stops, park and recreation areas, seedy adult theaters, and back rooms of many a gay bar, are notorious for having glory holes. And just think, you have one right there on your own campus. It gladdens my heart to know that the tradition lives on and that it's being passed on to yet another generation of guys looking for a little anonymous relief. One absolutely amazing thing about the whole Senator Craig bust is that since the release of the recorded jailhouse interview with the "I'm not gay, I just love to suck cock" senator, the media is now full of the most intimate details of the nonverbal signals used in public restroom sex. Until Senator Craig's bust, most folks would have lived out their entire life not knowing the meaning of a toe tap or a foot shuffle and a hand swiping under the stall. Before Senator Craig's bust, only the aficionados of toilet sex would have known what these things mean. Thanks, Larry. One thing, however, Quentin, dear Quentin, before you go skulking around your campus library looking for some anonymous head, you probably should know that you too could get busted like our friend Senator Craig. For some reason, campus police frown upon such activities. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. Finally, today we hear from Tony, who's 40, and he writes from Houston. I have loved several women and even married and divorced one. Over the last few years, I've noticed I am having similar feelings for men around me. Longing, sweaty palms, difficulty thinking and wanting to be with them, alone. Is this love? Am I a bisexual? Am I sick? Am I better off dead? I've not crossed the line, and I still have great sex with women, but there is now a guy that I think about when I'm with her. Am I gay, bisexual, sick in the head? Hey, chill out there, my friend. This is not a terribly uncommon phenomenon. Many people, just like you, inexplicably find themselves behaving in a completely unexpected sexual manner. I would, however, love to know what triggered you to veer off your comfortable and predictable sexual path. Maybe you'll tell me one day. While you enjoy these newfound feelings, beware that there are always sexual fascists out there, people who believe that sexual tastes and preferences are carved in stone, or that there's only one right way to be sexual. They'll persecute anyone who doesn't conform to their strict, immutable notions of sexuality and eroticism. Despite the proliferation of these heterofascists and these homofascists, they are all wrong about the indomitable human spirit and the flexibility of human sexuality. Humans are not sexual automatons. Given a more permissive and sex-positive culture than our own, we'd all be more fluid in our eroticism and our sexual expression. Are you one of the lucky few who has discovered the joys of this fluidity? Doesn't sound quite like it to me, at least not yet. I still think you're in the scared shitless stage. For a guy who has yet to cross the line and actually act on your fantasy, you sure are preoccupied with your identity. Are you afraid that someone is going to take away your breeder card if you actually touch another dude in a sexual way? Does having same-sex feelings, sweaty palms and all, make you gay? I certainly doubt it. Being gay entitles a whole lot more than a sense of longing for something you're not supposed to have. Are you a bisexual? I can't say that for sure either. But you're certainly not exclusively straight. Not anymore. I suppose you'll come to grips with the whole self-identifying thing when you have a bit more information about your burgeoning eroticism. What I know for sure is that you are not sick. Who knows? Your homoeroticism might very well be situational. It might not extend any farther than the guy you think about when you're fucking those chicks. I know all of this can be pretty disconcerting, and it can really mess with your head, but at least you know that you are still alive sexually. So many people are sleepwalking through their erotic lives. Will you act on your inclinations? Will you test the waters, so to speak? What harm could it do? Might just open up a whole new sexual world for you. On the other hand, if you do nothing, or try to repress these natural feelings, you'll always know in your heart of hearts that you have the desire, if not the capacity, to express yourself sexually with a much wider range of humans than what you thought in the past. And something tells me, if you choose the path of self-denial, it will eat away at you until you satisfy your curiosity. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, this stuff is going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out! Look for the Video on Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. There's never a membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember, your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.